of the that particular ministry. Well, we got down there not realizing that the program was actually a 5-day fast. So we took food with us. We get down there, and it's like, oh, by the way. So it's very, very powerful, and we're praying into actually opening that up in December, and providing an opportunity for people to learn more about just getting closer to God that way. We've felt Him closer than we have in a long time. It's been a really powerful time. So a couple of quick things that I'm going to share announcement-wise, and then I have we have a word that Karen is going to come and bring, which as a leadership team, it's really something we've been praying into, and it's timely that this has actually come. So we really want this to be a place of love. And Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And we really want to just see God's will done. And we believe this word is really key and tied in. So praise God. That'll be in a couple minutes. A couple of quick things. So this Friday, does everybody know what's happening this Friday? Lotus Reborn, worship night, 7 o'clock. Hope you guys can all make it. It's been really powerful. So come on out to that. Don't miss it. It's going to be great. In November, there's going to be a purity conference out in Sylvan Lake. See Pastor Alvin about that. If you or someone you know has had addictions to porn
and has had a hard time getting free of it, this is going to be a really super powerful weekend. They're going to be talking about what it does physiologically to us, how to get set free from it. The stats are actually really, what's the word for that? Not great. Disgusting, this is my wife, yeah. So if that's something that you have not experienced freedom in, connect with Pastor Alva. That's going to be coming up. We'll share more as we get closer to the time on that. Turkey list. Thanksgiving's coming up. And if you are in a situation where you can't afford a turkey, we've had somebody donate five turkeys. There's been some turkeys donated. So if you'd like to get on that list, come see me after the service or Pastor Stan, and we'll help you out with that. So, sister? Do you want a mic stand like we talked about? Okay.
Good morning, family. It's good to see you. I'm coming here today with a word from the Lord for you and for this congregation. I come in joyous expectation of what is happening in Potter's Hands ministry here. Thank you for that last song. You brought me to tears, and now I'm just don't know where my head is, so I'm going to have to go with notes now. On September the 10th, as I was in prayer and praying for the board and this church and the congregation here, the Lord, I like to say downloaded, but it's in Christian terms is revealed, but a revelation of what is happening in this body and where it has been and where it is going. Just earlier I was talking to Chad and he gave me an example, a little woof, parable. I'll talk softer, maybe. Just carry on? Okay. Lord will figure it out. Anyway, so this, if for those of you who don't know what prophetic revelation is, it's almost like a little balloon. It's like I see a red balloon. And when you breathe into the balloon, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So God has given me a word, and it's the balloon, and that's what I'm going to give you today. But since that 10th of that day, right into it. And this is why I'm not a singer. Besides the fact that I can't sing very well, this is another reason why. All right, so in this, the balloon is God breathes more and more into the revelation or into the balloon. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it'll be tied off and it will fly, right? And it will be for everyone to see. And that is what's happening. He just gave me that this morning. Isn't that cool? And that was in the foyer. So God can talk to you anywhere, at any time, about what's going on. All right, so this is September the 10th. And I'll just make a note here that on September the 20th, this word became communal in Red Deer because of the prayer of the board and the prayers of these people. So this is what he says, and I'm going to try to keep it in my time limit of 10 minutes, which is, I've been telling the Lord he's only got 10 minutes to do this. So Potter's Hands in Red Deer is known by its soup kitchen. It's known for helping the homeless and the helpless and the addicts, finding homes for people and encouraging them. But it is also being mocked. You know, God doesn't like people who mock. But it's being mocked by business owners in downtown. But now the business owners in downtown see that there's a real issue, right, with everything that's happening with the needles and the crime and such, that it has come to the forefront for the city officials. Now, the city officials, in their statement on September the 20th, they really don't know what to do. They have certain things in place, but they haven't really got a clue where to go. And the only answer, what is it? Jesus. So that means that we, as the body of Christ, are the answer for the city. And how do we address the answer? We address the answer in warfare. And what is warfare? The battle is not against the flesh. We're not out to fight the business owners or the people on the street. We battle in spiritual warfare. So it is a call to the battlefield. This is the call. So what happens, though, is that the homeless and the helpless and the poor, and I'm getting to the word that he gave me, is is that we need to be an advocate and a strong voice for them. What God gave me was Proverbs 31:8, and it says, "Open your mouth for the speechless. In the cause of all who are appointed to die, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy." Open your mouth, right? The revelation this week that God gave me was that when Jesus comes back in Revelations, he comes on a white horse, and out of his mouth comes the word, comes the sword, right? And we are to use our mouth with the sword, with the word. We are to pray. And we're not just to pray, oh, please make everything better. We're to pray scripture, and scripture alone. Because that is the sword. That's where the power is. That's where we win the battles. It's with when we are in our prayer closets, we pray specifically the word. God, you say this. And just like Jesus declared in wherever, in the scripture someplace, he made a declaration. It's someplace in here. That he made a declaration that we are to declare the word of God also. You say this, so this has got to be the truth, so then I declare it, and things will happen. Now, as for what does the scripture mean, when he first revealed, it means that those who are speechless are the children, the unborn, the children who have no voice, the children on the street who have no voice, those appointed to die are the elderly, the seniors, those who are terminally ill, they have no voice. To judge with righteousness and truth and in love, I will add that, in love, because we do all things. The prophetic word is always to be done in love. We were taught at women's retreat, or I was taught at lunch table, at ladies' retreat by Pam, that apostles or prophets, they bring a word, but they need to be humble, they need to be teachable, and they need to bring everything in love. So the word I bring is in love. It's not a command to do certain things. Now, the other word, a single word that he gave me for the board was the word mandate. The board needs to have a mandate. They need to have it in place. They need to have something solid. They need to have, what is this church going to do? What's it going to, where is it going to go? Now, as of the balloon, I have more. He's revealed more this week. He's been into the balloon. It's like this big now. But I don't have 2 hours to preach, which I would love to do, which is totally against my normal nature. But perhaps in future, if you ask me, I'm more than willing to share everything God gives me, I will give to everybody else. So to work in unity, this is the mandate, to work in unity as a whole body of Potter's Hands Ministry, just not as one individual Stan is not Potter's Hands ministry. He is the covering. He's the garment, the covering. And it's not just as the board. You can't expect the pastor and the board to do everything, right? That's not their job. Actually, the board is to take care of the finances. But because there is now being raised up a fivefold ministry, and they will come to light, they are now acting as fivefold ministry as well as the board. So we need to be more of an ecclesia, which is the Greek term for a governing voice for those in these situations. And remember that Jesus, the government is on his shoulders, right? I think I'm sticking pretty close to those. Excellent. All right, so we are to pray and ask the Father, the Holy Spirit, for his direction. Humble our hearts and seek him. Ask for direction and we will receive. Pray the word of God and the promises and blessings and lead the church into his presence. We need to come into the presence as a corporate body. Not just, we are coming into his presence in our homes or when we are with one another in fellowship, but we are to do that same thing in corporate. Can you imagine? Yeah, pretty awesome. Anyways, once we individually develop our intimate relationships, we can enter into the corporate relationship and discover the plan God has for Potter's Hand Ministry. He's revealing some things to me, but I don't know. I'm just one person. And it only comes with unity. Our weapon of warfare in this body, as to build onto what Crystal taught last week on generosity, is love. Was this? Did you not just mention this morning? Love. We must learn to love with the Father's love unconditionally in surety and confident speech. We are to be generous with our love. We are advocates to the lost, hopeless, helpless, and the downtrodden. Change will come to the community as a whole when the whole community is changing and focused on God's plan. Be prepared to put God's word into action. We can no longer be politically correct. We need to speak to authorities. Right? We need to speak to the authorities. We are an army. We have songs about the Christian army, onward Christian soldiers and stuff like that. But we are an army that has been in boot camp for centuries, or maybe let's narrow it down to decades or years. We are training and we are being trained and we have been trained. We're all at different levels to battle the enemy. We don't just train and stay where we are. We don't just train and stay in the army boot camp. We are meant to go out and fight. So when I say go out and fight, that means we're to go out and battle in the warfare, in spiritual warfare. And not to fight the government. We are to pray for the government. We are to pray for our leaders. We are to pray for our pastor and our board. We pray for individuals in the church. We pray for people who are in leadership. And we don't just pray for this church. What I want to make a point is here is that we are to pray for the churches of this city and this county. And it doesn't matter what church it is. It doesn't matter if they're Presbyterian or Anglican or United or LDS or Sikh. We are to pray for leaders because God came for everybody. Everybody. Not just this church and not just for a Pentecostal or a charismatic church. He came for everybody. But everybody needs to be involved in order to get the enemy out of this town and out of this, and then this town will be the beacon for the rest of the province. This church is the catalyst for that. That means we are like somebody, God's going like this, Holy Spirit's going like this with a matchstick. And there's a little tiny light. He's flicking that. But we know that one match can start a forest fire. Right? So we are going to start the forest fire for this city. Anyway, so he did go on to a few other things, which, how am I doing for time? Ooh, wrap her up, okay. Pray hard, love much, listen well. Okay, no, all right. As a catalyst, I think I pretty much got to what it is. This is the declaration, remember I told you about Jesus had in John 17. I have declared to them your name. Then your name. And will declare it. And the love of which you love me may be in them and I in them. So that's Jesus is praying and making a declaration that the Father's love will be in us, is in him, and he's praying that it'll be in us. So we need to pray that for ourselves. And further that, he's saying, I pray not only for them. This is out of the message, which is kind of cool. I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to come to one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. See, it's all about God. The same glory you give me, I give them. So they'll be unified and together as we are, I and them and you and me. Then they'll be mature in oneness and give the godless world evidence that you sent me to love them in the same way you loved me. Do you see the plan? The plan of God there? That's a pretty cool way that the message puts it. And then there is this statement from, this is the one that you can find online, the mayor's statement. And in here, I find it quite interesting because they say that we don't know what's going on. Like this is, while the powers of the mayor and council and administration are frustratingly limited to effectively address what is highly complex safety and social challenges, we are their answer. We are the answer. But we need to pray into it. This, we need to become more focused on this. We need to be that light. We need to infiltrate. Oh, there's an army term. We need to infiltrate the enemies. We need to pray for the government. We need to be part of the government. You need to pray for elections, or you need to be the one that is elected into the positions. And there is just one more. I know. 1 minute. It will depend on whether it depends on whether I find it quickly. So if anybody wants more of this, wants to keep on track of what God's showing me, okay.
So while she's finding it, just one of the things that I keep getting as leadership is please pray for us that we would have the mind of Christ regarding just defining our mandate. Habakkuk 2:2 is a really powerful verse. It's kind of one of those life verses that I chew on every now and again. And he says to Habakkuk, the Lord said, to write the vision and make it plain that he who reads it may run with it. So there's a desire, and this is now coming through the prophetic as well, for us to get really, really clear on what our mandate is so that we as an ecclesia, not as just a leadership, but as we as the body of Christ can step out in the calling that each of us have. Right, and that's one of the reasons I've always been so blessed to attend here is just as the Lord has led, and I say, hey, can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do this? I don't think I've ever heard no, and so that's been really powerful. Keep talking, okay? Yeah, go ahead. Yep, just come kick me when you're ready. Men's meetings is now changed to Thursday nights at 6:45. For all men. Many of you are on the text list. I have a list that I text to everybody, so if you want to be on that, if you don't currently get bugged by me every Thursday around noon, feel free to jump on that list. And so it's been a powerful time.
Be kicked. Okay. So this is the one thing that I say to all of us here, and especially to those who are in leadership, is in 1 Peter 5:2. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion with willing, but willing, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not for being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And while the chief shepherd appears, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And that is to you who are in leadership. So that is the word of God. So be excited. I am in joyful expectation of what is going to happen. And I kind of see the future in that sense, relatory, not the now. And so it's all good. Be excited.
Cool. Thank you. Thanks, Karen. That was awesome. You know, the New Testament church was characterized, many of them, by their sacrificial giving. So many of them were very, very poor. And in a lot of ways, I think many of us can relate to that. And but yet, out of their sacrificial giving, they did some great things with their finances. And so there's going to be, we're looking at in the new year, having a course on New Testament biblical finances. If you've never gone through a course to see all the different parables and the teachings that the Lord did, it's amazing how many of them are actually on finances. And there are some really powerful scriptures. So 2 Corinthians 8, 9 is one that comes to mind. It says, "For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might be rich." And when you break that verse down, there's debate on, well, the Lord, you know, well, some say he had lots of money, others say he didn't have any money when he was here on the earth. But there's one place where we know for sure that he was rich, and that's when, before he became Jesus on the earth, he was the Word of God in heaven, owned everything. He still did when he was Jesus, but he was completely rich, had access to absolutely everything, became perfectly poor on the cross when he died, so that we, through the cross, can not only experience blessing and riches, but eternal life, which is ultimate wealth. And God really wants to have a relationship with us in this area. And it's not just about formula. In the Old Testament, it was the law, it was the formula. Tithing is something that, when you start looking into it, we see examples of it before the law. It's not just a thing that was in the law. It was before the law. We see it happening after the law. But there hasn't been some really good teaching on tithes and offerings. And this happens to be one of my favorite topics. Not that I love money, but I love God, and we use money to bless people and to see the kingdom advanced, right? There's lots of things you can do when you become obedient to the Lord in this area. So the tithe is an interesting thing. One of the things I learned about it is there's a few scriptures, and it would take a little too much time to get into it. But one of the things that it does, if you haven't tested God in this, and I challenge you to spend some time in prayer, ask him what he wants to do with your finances, not as a formula, but as giving to him the first that comes into your life. What it does is there's a verse that talks about it rebuking the devourer, and it basically says unto the Lord, "My heart is for you, and I'm going to give you this and challenge you to meet all my other needs abundantly, supernaturally." So the word tithe itself literally means a tenth of something. Now, when you look at the Old Testament, it wasn't always just a tenth. It was actually, the tithe was for people who were, it was an agricultural society. So a tenth of the crops that would come in. And it wasn't always just once a year. It was several times a year. So it wasn't just a tenth of yearly income like many people in churches now. It was actually quite a bit higher than that. So a tenth is just a starting point. It's a thing to test your faith in and then grow with the Lord from there. So, but that's literally what it means, is one-tenth. Offerings is something that's quite a bit separate. So, for example, my wife and I have a missions trip that's coming up. And so when people help us with that trip, that's an offering. That's something that's over and above. It's separate. And so many places I've been, they always combine it. They say it's tithes and offerings, and it's actually quite separate. So we're going to get into that a little bit more. We've been feeling, led or maybe pushed just to share a little bit on it. Many of you know we don't take up offerings. There's a donation box at the back. But just maybe take some time, just ask the Lord, you know, what he wants you to commit to, either tithes or offerings, and just it's obedience. And that's where we're at now in the New Testament, is listening to God, hearing him, asking what you want to do in that realm. So I think Karen and I could probably tag team on but we do want to hear a word from Pastor Stan yet. So one of these days. So in the new year, there's going to be, we're looking at putting a course together. So see Amanda Osterwave. And if you're interested in learning more about that, there's going to be that. There's also courses that go on in Calgary that I know about. So you can talk to me more about it, and I'll share more. You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm going to pray for Joseph in a minute.
Good.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, lots of stuff going on, right? But it's really about listening to God. It's about that God speaks through lots of different people. Sometimes he speaks through me. Sometimes it's through Karen. And we've been learning about how God leads us by his Holy Spirit. Amen? And then there's lots of things that we're learning about being a body. And that's what I guess what Chad was talking about as well. This morning, Brother Joseph is going to be preaching for us this morning. So why don't you come on up? And while you're coming up, I want to pray for a couple people. You can wait to clap till after he's done. And then but there's a couple of particular needs we want to remember. And I just want to lead you in prayer and then pray for Joseph that the word will come. And Will, if you'll come up, I just want to pray for you. So because he's having surgery on, you can come now. Don't hesitate. Don't be reluctant, big guy. Will has surgery on Tuesday for his back. He's been struggling with this for a long time. Alvin, you want to come and join me in this? We're just going to ask God to heal you, right? How long have you been struggling with this?
3 years.
Years, right? Yeah, years and years and years. So this is something we've talked about for a long time, about waiting for this day to come. Finally, he gets this surgery. And God can use all kinds of different ways to touch and to heal us. And so we're praying today that God will use this to heal Will. He suffered a lot in his life with a lot of pain. And we're believing that this is going to be a whole new beginning for him. So in the name of Jesus, we all join together, right? We all agree on this. In the name of Jesus, we pray for our brother. Thank you, God, that finally the day comes when he can have the surgery. And we just pray for great success. We pray that you will guide and give the surgeons the skill that they need. We pray, Lord, that his back will be healed in Jesus' name. We pray that you will be the healer. You are the great physician. You are the one, Lord, who can restore what has been destroyed over the years. So we just pray for that, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you that you tell us that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So we believe in the power of prayer today and that you hear us. Right now, you're listening. Right now, you hear us. You care about Will. You love Will. You want Will to be well, just like you want all of us to be well and to be healthy and to be strong. So we lift up our hands to you. We join our faith together that this surgery is going to go so well. It's going to be such a great report. Thank you, God, for the faith that Will and Mish have. Thank you, Lord, that you are in this. We know it for sure. In your name we pray, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And then I want to pray for Karen, who is Raymond's wife-to-be, and she's struggling with some health issues, so just join me in that too. Oh God, I just want to pray for Karen, who can't be here today. I thank you, Lord, that there's a surgery coming her way as well, and you know what she's been struggling with. And we just pray for her, God. We pray that you'll heal her. I know how much of a worry this is for Raymond. We know, Lord, that she is weak and that she is anemic, so we ask you in Jesus' name. Would you just touch her and just heal her, God? I thank you that she's new to this family and new to the faith. And I thank you, Lord, that she loves you. And she wants to get baptized here in a month or so. So we're grateful for that. But you tell us that you're a God who cares. And if you care for the sparrows, how much more are you going to care for people like Karen and all of us? So we pray, Lord, for your healing power. And this week, there's some big decisions that need to be made. And pray that you'll give wisdom and discernment and that you'll just show your way. You are so good. Thank you, Jesus. Be with Raymond. Encourage him. Thank you that he's such a man of God and so all the work he does in the kitchen helping Calvin. Thank you, God, for him. In Jesus' name, amen. And then one last thing. Cindy was going to introduce her mom. So we're going to do this yet. So this is her mom, because this is about body. This is about us getting to know each other. So tell us about your mom. And she just moved here, right?
I got to stand up. Okay. Well, I'll try and do this without tears because my mom is pretty special. And 50 years ago, she welcomed me into her family. And now, I want you guys to welcome her.
Welcome. We welcome you to our church. We welcome you to our church. What's your name again?
Ann.
We welcome Ann. Get to know Ann. Amen? Because it's exactly what we've been talking about, because every single part is important. There isn't any part of the body that is inconsequential. Every single part. And the ones that you think are not as important as the other ones, you're wrong about that. If you think, people think, oh, that Pastor Stan, he's the really important one. He gets to, you know, talk all the time. And you're wrong about that. You're so wrong about that. Every single part. I try to do my part. Crystal tries to do her part. But every one of us, we are just as important. You know, all you got to do is just hit your little finger one time with a hammer, and you go, man, that little finger is really important. I realize now. Okay, no more talking. I got to give lots of time for our brother here today. Pray with me. Thank you, God, for your word. And we just pray for truth to just to flow today. Thank you for our brother. Thank you for his family. And we just want to hear your word today. God, would you just speak? We love your word. We want to pray your word like we've been taught. And I pray for Joseph that he'll have the confidence and that your Holy Spirit will teach us today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I welcome you all in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved, before I start, I want us to pray this prayer. Pastor Stan gave us this prayer to be praying every morning. You know, practice making men perfect, right? Do you have those Christian fellow words prayer? Can you put it on the board for us? Christ fellow words prayer. Amen. Before they get that for us, I want us to look at something. Do you have it there? Yeah. Amen. I just want us to understand something, that we have something great. A name that is above all name. That name is Jesus Christ. I want everybody here to understand that don't search for things that are not valuable when there is something great and powerful behind us that is above all things. Amen. Don't concentrate on what you don't have. Rather, concentrate on what you have. Amen. Because Jesus said, I'm in you, you are in me. It means we have Christ. Christ is in us. Why are we so concentrated on such some things, certain things that we don't even have or have any idea of? Our dreams. I want to have this. I want to do that. I want to do that. You don't have it yet. Don't concentrate on it. But if you have Christ, you have what? Everything. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Christian fellowers prayer. Okay, I'll read it, then you follow me if they don't have it. You say after me. Lord, I invite you to lead me today by your Spirit. I choose to follow you. My eyes are open to see where you go. Amen. Amen. Now we are telling the Lord our eyes is open to see where he goes. And he's telling us to follow him. In the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Amen. That cross, see, cross, what's the meaning of the cross? Always we see the cross, we talk about cross, we mention cross, we can spell cross. What is the meaning of the cross? I want somebody to answer me. What is the meaning of the cross? Yes? Amen. Who else? Redemption, yes. Sacrifice, yes. Grace, amen. What? Ascension. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to look at some video. I just have some video, just one. If you can quickly put that. I want us to understand what the cross means. Do we really understand the meaning of the cross and why Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Let us watch. Anyway, it's not English. Yeah. Okay, to interpret, this guy is trying to follow what Jesus said to carry his cross. Like every one of us, we're trying to carry our cross. But along the way, he said, Lord, this cross is too heavy for me. I can't carry it. I want to cut it a little bit so that I can be able to carry it. That's what he's trying to do. Let's see the end. Jesus said, follow me. He knows why he said, follow me. Carry your cross. He knows why he said, carry your cross. Look at it. He cut the cross to the way he can carry it. He's so comfortable now to carry the cross. Now he reached this place. What is happening to him? His cross is too little to cross the bridge. Brethren, life today is like everybody wants to use his mind. You don't want to follow the teachings, the rules, and the laws of this Bible. Christ Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. He knows there's something ahead of you. That cross you are carrying today will save you tomorrow. Amen. In those days, the meaning of the cross is simply mean death. Death. You see this wooden cross, just the wood they use. In those days, they use this to punish you, to kill you, not to kill you immediately, but to kill you slowly. Either you are tied to that wooden cross or nailed to it. Imagine this, your weight on this part of your body. They just lock it and all your weight is on it. See how painful it is. They use it to punish people. But Jesus Christ came. He said, no. I will change the meaning of this cross. Amen. He sacrificed himself and they crucified him on the cross. They made him carry his own cross. You know they are going to kill me with this, but they say, carry it. On the way, they will beat you. They will do all kinds of things to you that you can't even concentrate. It's so painful. That's what we face in life today. We face a lot of challenges from our friends and family, from the authorities. But Jesus said, carry your cross and follow me. Don't concentrate on all those things. I have a better life for you if you follow me. Amen. As I say, the cross simply means death. From about the 6th century BC onto the 4th century DC, the cross is an instrument of punishment and death. However, because of Christ, the cross today has changed its meaning. It's completely an instrument today of joy, happiness, relief. No one is to be crucified anymore because Christ has died for you and I on the cross. You have taken all the pains away. You may think you are passing through a lot of pain. No. Imagine that day. How many hours did Jesus spend on the cross? 3 to 6 hours. You will not die immediately. It's slow. But sure you die. What kind of sickness bothering you today? What are you passing through? That you can't look up to that man who is calling you, my loved ones, follow me. I remember weeks ago, Pastor Sam made this, follow me preaching. And he used one of the girls here, wherever I go, just follow me. And the lady just followed him. He climbed, you climb. He falls, you fall. Because he's ahead of you. He knows whatever is coming. If the bullet is coming, it's a fall down. You have to stand. If you stand, you get the bullet and you die. Fall down, you fall. Stand, you stand. Let us be obedient to the word. Sometimes God speaks to us and we ignore it. Sometimes you may imagine, oh, something is passing through your head. Pass this way, do this, do that. You may think you are the one, but no, he's speaking to you. He needs you. We are so busy concentrating on our job, our business, yes. But do we have time for God? How many times do we read our Bible? How many times do we study? How many times do we pray? How many times do you call our children, our loved ones? Come, let us pray. Come and let us study the Bible. How many times? No. We wake up early in the morning to search for what we don't have. Amen. By reading the Bible every day, every morning, teaching your children how to read the Bible, how to pray, it increases the blessing and opens the doors that are closed. What are you looking for in this life that Jesus Christ did not already promise you? He has promised us everything. What are you looking for? What do you need? He opened wide his arm on the cross. He said, I love you this way. Come, I'm ready to receive you. I'm so happy last time a lot of people got baptized. But I have one question for them. Do you know what you put yourself into? Do you hear because people are getting baptized? I want to show off and get baptized? Or do you really understand the meaning of baptism? And you give up your all for Christ. In this part of the world, Christians are free. If you go to Asia, Pakistan, and all those countries, you will die. Even by reading the Bible. You have to hide in order to read in the Bible. Not even talking about preaching. Amen? Those in those countries, they are the real people who take up their cross and follow Jesus. Because taking up your cross, you have to lose everything. You have to be make sure. You have to be willing, not by force, mentally, physically, morally, financially, because you have to buy gas, go around. Those who win soul for Christ, Jesus said, I have crown for them. How many people did we win for Christ? How many souls? Zero. By telling someone Jesus loves you, can take some relief, can give that person some joy. Maybe that person never know Christ. But you know Christ. You are the light of the world. Wherever you go, you have to shine that light. Brethren, Jesus is talking to you. Don't look at Joseph. The word that is coming from my mouth, look at that word and meditate on it. Do you know that Jesus is coming again? Do you know that Jesus is coming back again? Yes, I know Jesus coming back again. I know Jesus coming back again. Come meet in here, I put his hand. Jesus coming back again. And I know it's a beautiful venue. Jesus coming back again. Do you know that Jesus coming back again? Yes, I know he's coming to save us all. I know Jesus coming back again. God bless you. We read our first quotation from the book. Of Luke, Jesus is really coming back and he's calling you to pick up your cross. Brethren, there's nothing in this world that is so powerful than the word of God. Your job cannot save you. Your mansions cannot save you. Your husband cannot save you. Your wife cannot save you. Come to Jesus. Give your all to Jesus. It's right there beside you. Don't look for him anywhere. No, it's with you. Just believe it. Believe it. Blessed are those who never see him, but believe he exists. Amen. Last time I met a man who never believed in Christ. He said, Jesus doesn't even believe, exist. God is not even in existence, not even talking about Christ. I went to his house. I talked to him several times to come to church. He said, no, there's no God. His reason is, if there's God, why is it killing, hatred all over the world? Amen. But I'm praying. And that day, his wife thanks me because that's the first time he agreed that someone should pray for him. I asked him, brother, can I pray for you? He said, well, if you believe prayers work, why not? And I prayed for him. I'm looking forward for him to join us one day. Tell us his testimony and glorify the name of the Lord. Amen. The book of Luke 9, 24 and 25. You know, sometimes if you come to church, we are there just here to listen and go home and forget whatever we heard. I want you to evolve. Amen. Don't just come, sit, watch, listen, and go. Don't be a church goer. Be a follower. Amen. There's this saying that goes, tell me, and I will forget. Show me, and I may. Remember, but involve me and I will understand. If someone or nobody is involving you in the work of God, involve yourself. I know a lot of people have voices to sing, but they are just hiding in their comfortable shell. Amen. What are you doing for Christ? Some people have the spirit to pray, the courage to approach people, but they rather decide to do other things to fetch them money. I know this guy, I read about him, Alexander the Great. He said, if I die, listen very well. If you put me in the coffin, make sure my hands are out. If you are going to bury me, let my two hands out of the coffin. They ask him, why? He said, yes. Because I came to this world with nothing. I am great. I have everything. But I'm going with nothing. I'm not going with my wife. I'm not going with my cash. I'm not going with any of my buildings. Naked I come, naked I go. So why are we fighting over unnecessary things? Do you know where your soul will be tomorrow after death? That's what we should fight over. Take your Bible, read every day. Teach your children how to pray. Nowadays, we don't teach our children how to pray. Because we ourselves, we don't pray. We don't study. We just listen. Are we going to change from today? This is not Joseph speaking. This is God speaking to your heart. Are we changing today? Yes. Some of us don't have Bible. We have our gadgets. Cell phone, tablet. Yeah, I have my Bible on it. Yes, you have your Bible on it. But reading this can bring a lot of distraction to you. You can't concentrate on your cell phone as a Bible. Someone will WhatsApp you. Someone will Facebook you. Someone will call you. Just to distract you from reading the Bible. If you have some coins, go and buy a Bible. If you don't have, ask and they shall be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be widely open. Potter's Home Church is ready to welcome everybody who wants to follow Christ. It's time for us to evangelize and bring the lost sheep back home. That's where we get our crown. Luke 9, verse 24 and 25. The Bible said, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose his life? Amen. Don't take it off. Let it be. You have the whole world and refuse to take up your cross. Many times we heard taking up your cross. What is that cross Jesus is talking about? Thank you, Jesus. You are really talking to people. I can see people's hearts are broken. They are receiving you. Thank you, Jesus. What is that cross? Jesus said, take it and follow me. What is that cross? Who can tell me what that cross means? Is it this wooden cross? Take up your cross and follow me. Amen. The cross, he's asking you to take and follow him. It means you have to deny yourself of everything. In the point of what? Death. I watch a video on YouTube, and I see this guy in Pakistan who refused to bow to Allah. And they give him the last chance. Reject Jesus and leave. Take your Bible and we slaughter you. Not to shoot you, we slaughter you. Slaughter means they put a knife here and they cut it slowly. And this camera on him, he said, no, I stand for Jesus. They lay them down like this. Your turn, you go. They cut your head and they push you into the hole. How painful it is. These people are really taking their cross. Some people think carry your cross is just I'm sick and I'm able to follow Jesus. That means I carry my cross. No. Carry your cross means your family can reject you because you are following Christ. Carry your cross means you can lose everything in life, including your marriage, your children. If you remember those days, there are some people who want to follow Jesus. Jesus said to them, you want to follow me? Yes. But you have to leave everything behind. Someone say, oh, let me go and bury my dad. What did Jesus say? Let the dead bury what? Let me go and do this before following Christ. That's no. He's calling you now. Those things we can do that will take us from the way not to follow Christ, not to take our cross, are what? Sin. And he's telling us to take those things out of our way. Can you put Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21? Some of the things we normally do, we don't even think. It's a barrier to us carrying our cross. A lot of us believe we are going to heaven, but some little things are taking us from that way. Someone is really carrying his cross, but because of something. Galatians 5, verse 19. Look at it. Can we all read together? Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Don't read faster. Let's go slowly. Because I want you to be involved. I want you to understand it. And I want you to keep it. Because if you take all this thing out of your way, you will be able to carry what? Your cross and carry it well. You will not be like that little guy who is telling God, cut it off. It's too heavy for me. There's nothing too heavy. The heaviest cross is the one Jesus carried for us. The one we are carrying is not heavy. It's just as paperweight. Amen. Okay, let's start again. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred. Stop. Hatred. Every day we hate someone without knowing we hate that person. Indirectly. Hatred. People don't know hatred can cross their way. Hatred is one of the biggest. Why are you hating each other? Why do you dislike somebody? The person is making his view or his opinion on doing something. If you don't like it, that is his business. Focus on God. Amen. Wait, pause. I have some story to tell you before we read the rest. There's this young lady who went to his pastor. He said, Pastor, said, yes, I want to leave this church. Pastor said, why? There's a lot of things going on in the church I don't like. People are on their cell phone. People are gossiping. People are doing this. People are doing that. Pastor said, okay, when do you want to leave? He said, today. Take my name off your book. I'm no longer part of your church. And Pastor said, okay, wait. I have one assignment for you. After you finish, I'll pray for you and you go. He said, okay, bring it out. Can I use this cup? He gave the young lady a cup of water. Full of water. He said, you know what? Go around this building. Within 30 seconds. And come back. The young lady said, oh, it's okay. This is so simple. He took the cup, the glass, went around, and she came back. He said, Pastor, I'm done. This is your glass of cup, the glass of water. She said, okay. When you're going around, there's people in the church. I see them gossiping myself. I see a lot of people doing things. But when you're carrying the cup around, what do you see people doing in the church? He said, Pastor, I'm so concentrated on the glass of water. I don't want any to fall because I want to leave your church. Because you told me if any of the water fall, I'm not going. So I concentrate so much that none of the water will fall. He said, very good. You've answered yourself. How concentrated are you when you come to church? You look at people, what they do. You look at somebody gossiping because you yourself, you're not concentrating. Fix your eyes on the cross. Listen to what the word is telling you. If you are so focused, you will not see anybody gossiping. You will not see anybody on his cell phone. If you see the person, the right thing to do is, after church, you approach the person. Brethren, you have the whole week with your cell phone. You have only 1 hour or 2 hours in church to praise God. So if you come to church, keep your cell phone. That's so beautiful. You didn't do anything of that. You just wake up, get angry, and go to different church. What shows that that church you're going, they will not do worse. Amen. Sometimes we judge people when we ourselves, we don't look back. What we are. Where we are going. Amen. Let's continue. Hatred. This called jealousy. that's one of the common one, jealousy. Jealousy. Let's continue. Feet of what? Rich. Selfish ambition. Dissension. Functions. And envy. Drunkenness. Orgies. And the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. I believe, even if you have one of this thing they are mentioned in your daily life, forget it. There's nothing like single or simple or little sin. I know mine. I believe you know yours. Which one among them you belong to? Don't tell me I can save you. But tell him he can save you. Amen. Don't look up on people. Look straight to God. He's your Savior. He can make it possible for you. Amen. I have this last question for you. It's a question at the same time advice. The first question goes like this. Are you willing to follow Jesus? Which means losing some of your closest friends? The question again. Are you willing to follow Jesus? Which means losing some of your closest friends? If yes, it means you are carrying your cross. Second question. Are you willing? Listen, it's willing. It's not false. Willing to follow Jesus if it means your family will reject you? That is your cross. You will carry it if you are willing. The third question. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means to lose everything, including your job? Your children, your buildings, and your properties? The last question. Are you willing to follow Jesus Christ of Nazareth if it comes that you lose your life? You can say yes today, but if they point a gun at you, imagine if you can say no to Christ. Thank you. May God bless you and keep you safe. And see you again next time. Thank you, Jesus, for your life.
You know, we're preaching about the cross, and one of the best songs I can think about is The Old Rugged Cross. I think it'd be a great one to conclude with today. And maybe it's time to think about what it does mean. If you can look that song up for me, all right? What does it mean for you to follow the cross? What does it mean for you to carry the cross? What does it mean that you leave? What do you leave behind? Because that's really the question that we've been talking about. You know, I will cherish that old rugged cross. It wouldn't hurt if I had a couple other people helping me today. So a couple of the worship team can come up. But you can feel free today to just come to the front and get on your knees, or just to come and pray and come to Jesus. Come and say, this is what I need to abandon this in my life. I need to leave this behind. I need to know that nothing is more important, not even my life, nothing is more important than following Jesus and carrying my cross. Do you have that song yet or not yet? One more minute. I got to keep going here. It's been sort of that kind of a morning. I will cling to the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross reach it someday for a crown. We're going to do it again until we get the words. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And I will cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Here we go. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross.
There we go.
Stood beside by the world as a wondrous attraction for me. For the Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it on dark Calvary.
Sing it out now.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Now, on a hill.
On a hill far away.
Sing it louder.
Old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for the world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Just one more time. I'll cherish.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a rugged cross and exchange it someday